clearly stated that in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seemed right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And sometimes people brag about something that is wrong, that's not true, and then he thinks that's right. At the end, they will go to hell. So make sure when we brag about the right thing. Otherwise, we will be in deep trouble. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to us. Help us when we read the scripture. First of all, help us to see the light, see the wonderful thing that is written, not only in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, and open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that is written there, and open our mind that we can understand, and more importantly, and give us power to execute it. Give us power to practice it, to do it, and help us not to deceive ourselves. And I pray that you fill each and every one of us with the spirit of truth and spirit of revelation, so that we have a deeper understanding of what the Bible truly say about, and help us to walk in it. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Romans chapter 2, verse 12, I found out the English one, the English translation with a parenthesis in chapter 2, verse 14, between chapter 2, 14 to chapter 2, 15, is right. But in the Chinese translation, the parenthesis is in 13. So let me explain to you these Bible verses so that when you find out the Chinese translation and the English translation are different, we just spend more time and study it and see what's the reason for that and see whether you agree with what I interpret. In chapter 2, verse 12, there are two kind of people. The first kind of people, chapter 2, verse 12a, you write that down. All who sins apart from the law, apart from the law, you put a parenthesis there, that means they are Gentile. Gentile, they don't have the law. If the Gentile, they don't have the law, then they are apart from the law. And could you do me a favor? When you write that down, you write down in Psalm 147. Psalm 147, verse 19 to 20. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his law and decree to Israel. He has done this to no other nation, no other nation that means Gentile. And they do not know his law. Praise the Lord. So in other words, apart from the law, right beside apart from the law, you write down Gentile. Gentile at that time, God has never revealed his word to Gentile, only to Jacob and Israel. So apart from the law, you write down Psalm 147, verse 19 to 20. Now, could you do me a favor? Go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 12. He who sins apart from the law, all who sins apart from the law, that means if you are Gentile, if you sins against God, take a look what Paul saying. All who sins apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. In other words, I don't care whether you are Gentile or you are Jewish, if you sins against God, you will perish. I think that's what Paul trying to say. So, chapter 2, verse 12, A is for Gentile. Chapter 2, verse 12, B is from the Jews. Now take a look at the second part of verse 12. And all who sins under the law, that means they know the law. God revealed the law to you, so you are under the law. I tell you a story, then you understand what I'm trying to say. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, that I led him to Christ when I was in New York. And he tell me the true story. He get stopped by the policeman in he live in New Jersey. He gets stopped by a policeman, and then policeman asked him a question. Do you know what's the speed that you're driving? You know what he say? He said, no English. The police say, okay, no problem. You write him a ticket for his speeding ticket, and then another ticket, $150 for obstruction. No English. Come on, you don't claim to be ignorant. You understand what I'm trying to say? You don't say no English. You say, sir, I'm sorry. You know? Then you're all right. You don't say no English. You understand? No English. That means I don't know the law. You know what I mean? I don't understand what you're trying to say to me. You know what I mean? Get two tickets. Say, Pastor John, what can I say? You know? Now you say no English, okay? So he give you a ticket. The policeman is very sharp. He give you a ticket. Now you get two tickets down. You read that. You know the English, right? No English. Don't brag about you don't know the law. Right? Don't brag about that. Same as some people brag about, if my English is no good, then they say, well, this is my second language. Right? Same thing, you know? Okay? All who sins apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sins under the law will be judged by the law. And then in the Chinese translation, start putting a parenthesis in here. I think it's wrong. In verse 13. Because verse 13 is the explanation for verse 12, second part. So I want you to write that down. Chapter 2, verse 12, you write down chapter 2, verse 13. Because the second part of verse 12 will explain in verse 13. Let's explain in the second part of verse 12. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. And you know what's the pitfall for the Jewish people? They brag about the law. They say, I have the law. Besides, every Saturday, I go to synagogue and listen to the rabbi explaining to me what the law is all about. And yet, they just hear the law. They do nothing about that. They don't do it. And then Paul saying to them, it is not those who hear the law on every Saturday, the Sabbath day, okay, who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. So in other words, if you claim yourself to be the Jews, you claim that you know the law, and yet you don't do anything about that, you are still wicked people in God's sight. So now I go back to chapter 2, verse 12, the second part. All, that means Jews, all Jewish people who sins, who did not practice the law, who sins under the law, they know the law, they just hear about the law, they don't do anything about that, they will be judged by the law. What did the law say? The law say, in God's sight, you don't obey, you are a sinner. Then you'll be judged. So, I think the Chinese translation put a parenthesis in here is wrong. I think the NIV is correct. Now, what about chapter 2, verse 14 to 15? So, chapter 12, verse 14 to 15, you put it here. Chapter 2, 14 to 15. You put it under the Gentile. Now let me explain to you. when the police stop you and asking you a question, you don't say no English. When you face judgment in front of Jesus Christ, you don't say you don't know the law. Because Paul saying to the Gentile, because Paul is our apostle to the Gentile. He say to all Gentile. He say the function of the law. What's the function of the law? The function of the law is, although you don't know the law, but when God make you at the very beginning, God put God's law into your heart. That's why people have conscience. 良心. When you have conscience, you know what is right, you know what is wrong. Because that God's law is written in your conscience. Although I don't know the law, the fifth commandment say, honor your father, honor your mother, obeying them. Although I'm a Chinese, I don't know the fifth commandment, but when I was a Chinese in the Chinese culture, I know I have to obey my parents or honor them. You understand what I'm trying to say? I know that when my parents are old, when they don't have enough money, I know that as a son, I know to honor them according to Matthew chapter 19 and give them money to make sure that when they are old, they live comfortably. Because when you are young, you have no money, he feed you. You understand? Pay them back. This is the honor thing to do. Although you have no God's word, you know what is right, what is wrong. Everybody say? So, Paul explaining to us. So that's verse 14 is the verse 12, the first part to the Gentile. Indeed, when Gentile who do not have the law do by nature things, do things that require by the law. What do things require by the law? Then they are the law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Why? Since they saw that the requirement of the law are written on their heart, their conscience, and also bearing witnesses, and their thought now accusing, and now even defending them. I say that one more time. God's law is written in your heart, in your conscience, and in your thought. So, in other words, it's like, Pastor John, how do you know that it's written in my thought? Because sometimes, when someone accuses you, saying that you do wrong, in your mind, sometimes your mind defends you. You say, no, he's wrong. You are right. Because you know what is right, what is wrong, although you don't have the law. Because your mind know that. Because we have a logical mind, right? Unless your mind is twisted. You understand? Okay? I think Paul is very sharp. These two words, the key word in understanding. Do things by nature. Because when God created you, he gave you that knowledge. He gave you a mind, he gave you a heart, he gave you a conscience, and he put God's law into these three faculties so that you know what is right, what is wrong. So don't claim that no English. Don't claim to me that you have no law. You don't know the law. Same as when you are speeding in a school zone, you say, I don't know that. You get double fine. You understand? So, never brag about as being a Gentile, I don't know the law, then I'm free to go. You're not free to go. Because God has written his word in your mind, that means in your thought, in your heart, and in your conscience. Sometimes your conscience defends you, sometimes your conscience accuses you, saying that no, you're wrong in this time. Does it make sense? All right. So people brag about the wrong thing, they are in deep, deep trouble. Now go second part. And then verse 16. The Bible say, this will take place. What will take place? The judgment. Judgment will take place on the day when God will judge man's secret through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declare. And I think this Bible verse is very important. I explain to you now, but I hope you put it in your mind, because it help us to understand the latter part of the like in chapter 3, chapter 4, and all the way to chapter 16. I say that again. Judgment will take place, not now, will take place on the day when God will judge. On that day, you write that down, right? On that day has been set. You write down Acts chapter 17, verse 31. The day has been set. I don't know which day, but that day has been set. I don't know who will be the presiding judge, but the judge has been appointed. That is Jesus Christ. I don't know how he's going to judge me, but God say he's going to judge you according to God's righteousness, not according to your own righteousness. You understand? Not according to your own understanding. He's going to judge you according to the law. Okay? Let me read that to you. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. This is Paul preaching. Paul preached that to the Gentile people, to the Athens. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice, with righteousness, by the man he has appointed. This man is Jesus Christ. Make sure when we brag about the judge that I know, instead of bragging about the law. You understand? Because the judge, Jesus Christ, my judge, he's going to judge me for that. Because God has appointed this man to be the judge. And he has given proof of this to all men by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day. The whole world know about that. But whether they believe in it is a different story. I think Jesus Christ, when he judged us, he's going to say, don't you know that? I died on the cross. That's why you live in North America on Friday, Good Friday. You don't have to work. The reason why you don't have to work, I let you to think about that. Why you don't have to work? What is going on? You say, oh, I don't know. I get drunk at that time, you know, every time. I watch football and all that. You are in deep trouble. You understand? So, the reason why he give you a day of rest, he want you to think about that. That day is the day God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Jesus Christ is not only the judge. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, Jesus Christ is not only the judge, he is your attorney before God the Father. Oh man, he's the one who judge you, and then he's your attorney, he's your defense lawyer. Wow, that's great. Make sure that when you bread about Jesus Christ, not anything else. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Take a look at that. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. He is the defense lawyer, attorney, the righteous one. And not only that, he is also the atoning sacrifice. He is the sacrificial lamb. He paid the price already. He can say to the Father, Father, his sin has already been paid for by me. You understand? Chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sin, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So you don't need, when you go to see Jesus, you don't need to claim yourself to be righteous, because he has already paid for the price of your sins. You may as well confess your sins, acknowledge it, say, Jesus, forgive me, please. You understand? You'll be a fool if you cover up. Right beside chapter 2, verse 2, you write down Proverbs chapter 28, 13. He who conceals his sins will not be prosperous. Whoever confesses and renounces them will receive mercy because the price has already been paid for. He is your judge. He is your attorney to defend you. And he is the price he has already paid for. Why you cover up? You be a fool. You understand? Okay, good. Now, keep going. Verse 17. Okay, I explain one more time in verse 16. This will take place. Some people say, wow, I sinned against God, but nothing happened. Of course, nothing happened. Right beside 2:16, the reason why nothing happened, you write down 2:4, because he give you time to repent. He give you time to think it through. Okay? 2:14? I'm sorry, 2:4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness need you to repent? The reason why he did not judge you right now, because he give you time to think it through. He wants you to make a wise decision. As long as you make a decision before the judgment time, then you're all right, good to go. Okay? Hopefully, before the judgment time, hopefully before I die. Because that's the time limit for a human being. Okay? This will take place on the day when God will judge man's secret thoughts, secret sins, secret act, okay, through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declare. Now, verse 17. What are they bragging about? Take a look at that. Verse 17. Now, if you call yourself a Jew, they brag about being called a Jew. A Jew means they are the descendant of Abraham. But later on, we see that in chapter 4, not every descendant of Abraham will be saved. You understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know that Abraham has 3 wives? Do you remember that? Right? Hagar gave birth to his son. Did his son get saved? I don't think so. Okay? So, calling yourself a Jew, calling yourself you are the descendant of Abraham, means nothing. You understand? Don't brag about that. But the Jewish people brag about that. They don't know that they are sinner. They say that I'm the descendant of Abraham. Abraham, God's love. So automatically, God will love me. Oh, that's not true. Okay? Now, if you call yourself a Jew, and if you rely on the law, they brag about the law, and brag about your relationship to God. Verse 18, if you know his will, you know God's will, and approve of what is superior, because you are instructed by the law, because you go to the synagogue every Saturday, you hear the rabbi talk about the law, you heard about that, but Paul say, in God's sight, it is those who obey the law will be saved, will be called righteous, not the one who hear the law and do nothing. Verse 19, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, you know what? Guide for the blind? What do you mean for the blind? They call the Gentile or the blind. You don't know the law. I know the law. So they are the guide to the blind. But Jesus say, you are blind also. The blind leading the blind. And they fall into the pit. That's what the Bible say in New Testament. Right? Okay? So being a guide for the blind is not good enough. And being a light for those who are in the dark is not good enough either. An instructor of the foolish is not good enough also. I don't care whether you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't even care whether you're a senior pastor or a pastor. If you do things wrong, you sin against God too. Okay? Now, verse 20, they brag about being an instructor of the foolish. They brag about being a teacher of infants. Because you have in the law the embodiments of knowledge and truth. Because you hear the law and you thought you have the knowledge of God, you have the truth of God, and yet you don't do anything about that. That is a liar. Right beside chapter 2, verse 20. I want you to write that down. Let's hear what John, Apostle John, talk about that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. We know that we have come to know God if we obey His command. The man who say, I know God, but does not do what He commands is a liar. The truth is not in him. Go back in Romans chapter 2, verse 17. If you rely on the law and brag about your relationship to God, you say that every Saturday you go to the synagogue, you hear the law of Moses, you know what the Lord requires of you, and yet you don't obey, and you say you claim that you know God, you claim that you have a good relationship with God. According to 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, you are a liar. You don't know God. Unless you do what He commanded, then you know God. You don't do anything about that, you don't know Him. Okay? And unfortunately, these are the things the Jewish people do not know. And that are the reason why the Jewish people, they hate John. They hate Paul. Because John and Paul revealed to them, you are wrong in God's sight. All right? Now, go to verse 21. Verse 21, you then who teach others, do you teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idol, do you rob temple? You who brag about the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? You brag about the law, you have to obey the law. By obeying the law, then you honor God. But you brag about the law, and yet you dishonor God by breaking the law. Verse 24, as it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, because of your ignorance, because of your bragging about the wrong thing. Now go to verse 25. Circumcision has value. Go back to chapter 3, verse 1. What value is there in circumcision? That's the question Paul asked. And go back to chapter 2, verse 25. Right beside circumcision, you write down 3:1. What value is there in circumcision? That is a deeper understanding of God's will. Circumcision has value if you observe the law. In other words, if you disobey the law, your circumcision is not a genuine circumcision. It's a counterfeit circumcision. Circumcision has value if you observe the law, if you obey the law. But if you break the law and by dishonoring God, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. Verse 26, if those who are not circumcised, like the Gentile, we haven't been circumcised, like the Gentile, if those who, right beside those, you circle the word those, you write Gentile. If those who are not circumcised keep the law requirement, will they not be regarded as those they were circumcised? This is just a supposition. Doesn't mean that the Gentile can do that. Suppose a Gentile who hasn't been circumcised, but if the Gentile obey the law, will he not, if he obey the law, will he not be regarded as circumcised? I want you to write that down. Right beside circumcision, you write down Genesis chapter 17. Listen to me carefully. Circumcision is a sign that God make a covenant with you. And God say, you have to obey my covenant. How do you obey my covenant? By circumcise, by circumcision. In other words, obey my covenant, that means obey God's law. So if a Gentile hasn't been circumcised, but he obeyed the law, does it count him as a circumcised person? Yes. That means he obeyed the law, right? Circumcision is a reminding that you have to obey the law. You understand what I'm trying to say? You write down Genesis chapter 17, and then you go home and study it to see whether you agree with what Paul's trying to say, okay? I go back to verse 25. Circumcision has value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, you have become as though you have not been circumcised. Verse 26, if those who are not circumcised keep the law requirement, will they not be regarded as though they were circumcised? The answer is yes. Verse 27, the one who is not circumcised physically and yet obey the law will condemn you who, even though you have the written code, you have the law, and you have the circumcision, but are a lawbreaker. They brag about what? They brag about the law. They brag about circumcision. And yet, they break the law. They don't obey the law. They have circumcision. Circumcision is a sign that you make a covenant with God. Circumcision is a sign that you make a covenant with God. That means you will obey the covenant. Yet you don't obey. That means you are not circumcised. Okay? You know what? You know why Paul can understand that? I want you to write that down right beside circumcision. You write down Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Because God knows that, what's his name? Peter? God knows that Peter won't understand that. So that's why Peter did not mention anything like that. He didn't think that John will understand that. So that's why he asked Paul to write that down. He prophesies it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Jesus said to them, said to the disciple at that time, at the end of hearing the seven parable of the kingdom of God, Jesus said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law, right beside every teacher of the law, you put a parenthesis of that, you write down, Matthew, he is the teacher of the law. These Bible verses, Matthew chapter 13, verse 52, only written in Matthew, not in Mark, not in Luke, not in John. So Matthew, what's the Matthew and then the name? Matthew is a Greek name. Matthew and then the name is Levi. Levi. He's supposed to be of the tribe of Levi. He's supposed to be teacher of the law, but yet, he changed his job. He become a tax collector because he loved money. Okay. Now another one you write down. Paul. Paul's a teacher of the law. Okay. So therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who bring out of his storeroom new treasure as well as old treasure. In other words, if you are the teacher of the law, if you know the law, and later on you confess your sins, don't brag about the law, don't brag about God, don't brag about circumcision, you brag about Jesus Christ, then you have a deeper understanding of what the law is trying to say to you, then Paul can explain the meaning of true circumcision. And Paul explained to us the true meaning of being a Jew. true meaning of being a Jew. Okay? And on top of that, he will explain the Old Testament together with the New Testament. He bring it out and show it to you, and you make a decision whether you should follow Paul or follow the rabbi. Okay? Now, keep going. Verse 28 to 29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. When he makes this statement is a true statement because I can see that it is written in the Old Testament. Verse 29. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such man's praise is not from man, but from God. Man's praise is not from man. For man, right beside circle the word for man, you write down Galatians 6, 6:12. Those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Verse 13. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. Verse 14. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything. What kind is a new creation? Doesn't matter whether you have circumcision or no circumcision. The most important thing that can in God's sight, are you a new creation? Has your life been changed? Do you have a new heart? Or you still have the old heart? That's what Paul trying to say in Galatians chapter 6. Now I go back. I want you to write that down right beside Romans chapter 2 verse 28 to 29. I want you to write that down. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 all the way to the end, to 26. And listen to my reading. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 to 26. This is what the Lord say. Could you do me a favor? Circle the word, the Lord. This is what the Lord say. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and know me. I want to circle the word know me. What's the true definition of knowing God? The true definition of knowing God is recorded in 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 and 4. If you claim to know God and yet you disobey his command. You are a liar. The truth of God is not in your heart. So, I read that one more time in verse 24. But let him who boasts about this, that he understand and knows me. I want you to write that down, know me. Paul wants us to know Jesus in a deeper manner. You write down in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, all the way to 19. For these reasons, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the same, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer. Verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. You know why he say thing what he's saying? I want you to write that down, to know him better, because he has read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. If you truly want to brag, if you truly want to boast, boast about this, that he understand and know me. And at that time, Paul thinking that he knows God. And yet, he found out that he didn't know God. The reason why he didn't know God, because he didn't have the spirit of understanding, spirit of revelation. So that's why he prayed for all those brothers and sisters, I want you to know God better. I want you to make sure that you have the spirit of revelation and spirit of wisdom and spirit of understanding so that you may know him better. Verse 19, verse 18, how do I know him better? From 18 to 19, three things that help you to know him better. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You know him better. The first thing is you may know the hope to which he has called you. If you don't know why he called you, then you won't respond to him. So that's why I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, not to be blinded by Satan, to be enlightened by God, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. That's number one. Number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint. In other words, God require you to bear a lot of fruit so that later on he can reward you according to how much fruit that you bear. You write down number two. And 19, you write down number 3. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength. Three things you know him better. Number one, enlighten your heart. At first, you don't know that. Wow, why God called me? Now you know he called you. He called you to receive glory. Second thing, he call you that you can bear fruit, and then so that he can reward you with riches inheritance. Thirdly, when he call you to bear fruit, to do good thing, he know that you have no power, but he used the same power that he used that power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. With that same power, he empower you to do good thing. So that's why we are God workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And God prepares to do good work ahead of us. He give you all the empowerment, all the knowledge, all the strength. You can do it. That's why Paul saying that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who give me strength. He didn't expect you to say, oh, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, and then, oh, now you just go and find your means, your way, how to do it. No, he tell you all this way. He give you all the power. He give you all the resources. He give you all the strength. Is that good stuff? Is that the way to know him better? You want to brag about that? Brag about these three things. Not to brag about any other thing else. All these three things regarding Jesus Christ, what he has given it to you, right? That's the deeper understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Now go back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. But let him who boasts about this, that he understand and know me better, and know that how much I'm going to bless you. Second thing, to boast about that, to know that I am the Lord who exercise kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in this I delight. What did Jesus Christ delight? He delight in kindness, in exercising kindness. He delight in exercising justice. He delight in exercising righteousness. You want to brag about that? You brag about this. I want you to circle the word right in 24. I am the Lord. Wow, that is a key understanding of all the Bible verses. I am the Lord. I want to circle the word I am. And then you write down Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 56. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus Christ said, that is his name. I am. 8:58. Gospel of John, 8:58. I am, that is Jesus Christ. I know that. I don't think Chinese understand that. But the Jewish people understand that. Let's see the response. Go back to Gospel of John, 8:59. What is the response? After the Jewish people heard what Jesus say, I am, at this, they pick up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple ground. Could you do me a favor? Go back to Exodus. You know why the Jewish people stoned him? Because when Jesus Christ revealed himself to Abraham, revealed himself to Moses through that conversation, and God said, my name is I Am. Verse 14, chapter 3, Exodus. God said to Moses, I am who I am. So that I am is God's name. You don't call yourself I am. You understand? Jewish people know that I am, that is God's name. Jehovah name. You don't call yourself I am. Okay? I am who I am. And then he say, this is what you are to say to the Israelite. I am has sent me to you. I am has sent me to you. That means the Lord has sent me to you. The Lord has sent Moses to you. Verse 15, God also said to Moses, say to the Israelite, the Lord, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. Go to 15. I want you to write that down. I am has sent me to you. That I am, who is that I am? The I am is the Lord. I am is the Lord. So that's why I am the Lord. First of all, I am is the Lord. Secondly, I am is the God of your father. I am is the God of your Abraham. I am is the God of Isaac. I am is the God of Jacob. I am has sent me to you. Go back to here, right? I am has sent. Brothers and sisters, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Diane, do you understand? When they hear that, they try to stone him because they think Jesus blasphemed. Now, I want you to write that down. Write down New Testament Revelation, Acts chapter 2, 36 to 41. Let's hear what Peter's sermon talk about this. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Lord. The Lord is the Lord that is recorded in Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 was what? 15? 14? 15 and 16, right? Could you go back to Exodus? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to Israelite. So Israel understand that. I am has sent me to you. Verse 15, God has said to Moses, say to the Israelite, the Lord has sent me to you. Who is the Lord? The Lord is the God of your father. The Lord. This Lord, who is this Lord? This Lord is Jesus Christ. He's the God of your father. Why you stone him? Because they thought they know the law. Is that in the law? Exodus, is that in the law? They read the law. They brag about the law. And yet they don't know the law. They try to stone Jesus. What's the reason why they don't know the law? Go back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25. The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. I read that one more time. God say, the days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Verse 26. Who are they? Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert, in the distant places. For all these nations, whether Jewish nation or Gentile nation, for all these nations are really uncircumcised. And even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised, circle the word, in heart. Now go back. Romans chapter 2. Let's hear what Paul trying to say. 2:28 to 29. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. Physical, that means in the flesh. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. Inwardly, that means in your heart. Your heart has been changed. Your life has been changed. That is inwardly. Circumcision is the circumcision of the heart. Could you do me a favor? Circumcision of the heart. You write that down? That is what the Lord required in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 26. Even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. That means the Lord wants people to be circumcised, not just in the flesh, but in the heart. He said, Pastor John, how can I circumcise myself in the heart? No one can do that. Only who can do it? Only God can do it. God can change your life, give you a new heart, new spirit. Right beside the heart, you write down Ezekiel chapter 36, 26 to 27. God will take away your heart of stone and give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. And then he give you a new spirit, and then you become a new creation. Circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What kind is a new creation? When you have a new heart, new spirit, you become a new man. Everybody say, our Heavenly Father, when we have a new heart, that man's praise is not from God, is not from man. That man's praise is from God. When he praises us, we won't be condemned by Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, help us to be make sure that we are truly circumcised, not in the flesh, but in the heart, so that we will receive praise from Jesus Christ, honor from Jesus Christ, glory from Jesus Christ. Help me to understand your word and explain your word clearly to your children so that we know what we truly believe. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.